I wanted to make a request specifically to the honorable members that for the purposes of interaction with the presenters, it might be better that the honorable members can be in a position to interact directly with the presenters. So I'm going to request that we move presenters sit this side and honorable members sit on the other side so that they can put face to names and all those things and questions. Thank you.
Good morning to everyone. As soon as we're all settled, we will be able to proceed with the meeting. And thanks to the members for their cooperation to be on site so that we can be able to interact appropriately. Okay, just to highlight the purpose of today, we are meeting here on two items that are on our agenda item. The first one is the briefing by the Minister of Finance and Minister of Public Service and Administration on the personal system and the personal cleanup strategy. The second issue would be update by the Minister of Finance on the planning, on the placement of the Public Service Commission and the Public Administration Leadership Management Academy budget. We will explain the item once we come to it. Quite briefly, we would like to welcome everyone who is there, and we do have some few apologies. Starting with the ministers who are really tight, and I'm sure all of you would be mindful of the fact that there is a bargaining process that is taking place out there, and as a result we couldn't have ministers and all other activities, and therefore we do accept the apology, but definitely we do have the Deputy Minister for Public Service and Administration, Honorable Roy Padiaki, with us here, and all the representatives that are sent to be here. We will also request that once presentation starts, all the leaders of the delegation can either introduce delegation or request them to introduce themselves individually. Let me say this is where we are, and we will proceed with the meeting. In terms of apologies, that's where we are.
Yeah, thanks, Comrade Joyce, co-chair. I think you have already covered the purpose of the meeting, but on our side, we thought in terms of our discussions, it would be important that this particular item that is going to be handled today, we should have a joint committee meeting so that issues that relate to national treasure, we can also have a better understanding and clarity from their side in terms of processes and so on and so forth. I must indicate that both the minister and the deputy minister apologized. And we understand for similar reasons. there are other serious matters out there that they are handling. But the Director General of National Treasury and some of his colleagues are here. They are supposed to be in this meeting, but I'm told they are tied up in Scopa at the moment. They'll join us at any moment. So I thought I should just make that point known. We're looking forward to have a briefing, particularly on this system that has been almost a headache for almost all provincial governments and national departments. I was giving an example in our committee that some years ago in Limpopo, we discovered that we didn't have the number of civil servants that we thought we had by simply starting with a process that we call a gold busting exercise. Where starting with the premier on a particular day, we had to go and queue for our checks. And then at the end of that process, there were many checks that were not claimed, many of them. In Eastern Cape, a similar process was done. And we were able to do some progress in that regard. The number of civil servants really got reduced from a high number to a manageable number. The second part of it is also around SOGPEN itself. We may not be talking about it today. But you would know that there are a number of people, a number of cases that are being investigated by law enforcement agencies at the moment, where civil servants in particular load themselves into social security benefits, then they become beneficiaries. So it's quite an important human development tool, but also a management tool that is resident in National Treasury, but does work for the public service administration completely as a whole. So, Comrade Joyce, we'll take over from here and then we'll continue to live together moving forward.
Thanks, Honorable Mazumadi. As you will have noticed, that it's a joint committee meeting, that is the Finance Standing Committee, together with the Committee for Public Administration, Public Service and Administration. I must indicate that, like Honorable Mafumadi has already indicated, there was a need for us to actually make it a joint committee in order to avoid, firstly, duplication, where we are called by the Committee of the Standing Committee for Finance, and we are called by Public Service and Administration on the same matter. So it's part of our consolidation of our work in terms of collaborating on areas of common interest. And again, it is also some form of a follow-up because the meeting that we had, a joint committee meeting that we held with the standing committee, the matter kept coming up. And as those who are participating in public service and administration, they would know that most of the time when people talk about the vacancies in government, they would talk about a figure which all of us are not even sure whether it's a correct figure or not. And as a matter of principle, it was important for us to consolidate some inputs around getting the actual issues that are there on PESAL. This meeting will achieve the objective of ensuring that is there progress in terms of us having correct statistics as the government at the start. And therefore, I know that Public Service and Administration is ready to do a presentation, and I can see the overhead projectors are already projected on the matter. And I'd like to indicate that the person who's already ready to do a presentation should not forget to do the introduction. Over to Public Service and Administration.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Good morning to all the Honorable members present this morning. I wish that the Honorable Chairs would have tendered the apologies for the Minister's quite correctly so, because you give me the impression that I have no serious business to attend to. And I can assure you that I'm attending to very serious business being present here, because this is a serious part of my delegation, and that's why I'm here. It's indeed quite a, I think, opportune moment for us to meet jointly, to hear what it is that we are planning to do in this project that we're calling the Prasad Cleanup Project. And to give the staff here the opportunity to define in very clear terms the strategy that they propose to implement in trying to clean up the information and the databases that are existing in Purcell. But there are obviously two fundamental questions that we've had to grapple with before designing the project and looking at it. And the first one was to define very clearly what it is that's broken in the system or what it is that we need to fix. Because if you don't understand what it is that you want to fix, then it's difficult to find out how you're going to fix it. The second question is, if it's so bad and it's so broken, why don't we replace it? And why do we want to fix it? Now, these are some of the prior questions that the team will discharge in their presentation and then explain to you why it is that we are keeping the system as an interim measure and what we hope to replace it with in a couple of years from now. And they will certainly welcome the opportunity to engage with the committee on the design as it is right now, and they will explain to you. I'd like to call upon Dr. Koenigke, who is Deputy Director General in DPSA, responsible for this project. Dr. Koenigke will introduce her team as well.
Thank you, Deputy Minister, Chairperson, members. It is indeed an opportunity for us to engage on this project. Before I just give a brief overview in terms of the presentation, I'll take the opportunity to ask my colleagues just to indicate who they are and where they're from. Perhaps we can also ask our colleagues from Treasury so that everybody's introduced, and Sita is also here. Thank you.
Thank you, members. I'm Livina Bosch, and I'm the director of the University from the Department of Public Education and
Education. Thank you, Chair and members. I'm the acting chief executive officer of CETA.
Thank you, Chair and members. I'm Andy Lepana, Acting Chief Business Operations at CETA.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Nokoli Tenu Jersey. I'm responsible for government relations at CETA. Thank you.
Chair, I'm Joel O'Sullivan, Chief Technical Architect of IFMS from CETA.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Peter Gerle. I'm a director at CETA.
Thank you, Jess. And honorable members, Heng Sarah Fontaine, Department of Public Service and Admin for M&E Systems.
Thank you. I'm Bobby Marquet, National Treasury, Chief Director of Financial Systems.
My name is Andrew Donaldson. I'm from the Public Finance Division of Financial Treasury.
Good morning, Chair members. My name is Cornel Ives, DPSA. I'm responsible for the IFMS HR program.
Thank you very much. I think just very briefly, before I ask Ledula Bosch to take us through the presentation, I just want to put the presentation in a context. We are dealing with a system, as indicated by the Deputy Minister, that requires some fixing, so to speak. And that is approaching it in terms of what the immediate task is. But I believe that we have to put the personal cleanup system within a more strategic framework, in the sense that we are trying to look at the system, we are trying to make that system functional, we are clear that the need is to clean up the system, but to make it functional within a developmental state. I believe that the core chairperson had indicated the need at one point for Limpopo to actually try to clean up the system more radically in terms of having people pick up their checks to rule out ghost workers, so to speak. In this particular case, our desire would be to have a system that is able to give us clear projections in terms of a more futuristic system. We would want to be able to draw information from PESEL, which would be integrated into the IFMS, to be able to make projections in terms of the need of a developmental state, for example, in terms of skills, looking at the skills profile from time to time as a developmental state, we would need particular areas in which we would be trying to focus given the needs of that particular phase in our own development. And as we engage in this era in terms of an outcome-based approach, we are clear that one of the purposes of an outcome-based approach is to ensure that data is integrated, that that data is able to assist us in terms of making decisions and making projections for the future. It is our hope that this particular cleanup system will lead us to that eventuality. And on that note, I would ask that Ledule Bosch do the presentation.
Thank you, members of the Standing Committee on Finance and the Portfolio Committee on Public Service and Administration. Again, my name is Vivile Bosch. I'm the Director for Monitoring and Evaluation within the Department of Public Service and Administration. And my duty really is to collect, collate, analyze the data that comes from PESA and make meaningful decisions to assist in planning and decision-making management. So that is the area we are coming from. And I feel honored and at having the opportunity to present the cleanup project, PESA cleanup project. Is the purpose, what is the purpose, what makes us to come up with the cleanup strategy or the project? And there are none and context around the cleanup project. What are the key problems that we want to address? And why? What is the issue around the rationale around replacement versus the cleanup? But we need to also look ahead in terms of what are the new and current initiatives that are in place in terms of the integrated financial management system, which is the IFMS. The transitional phase, what will we be doing in this transitional phase in terms of cleaning up the purpose? And what actually are the areas that we are looking for around the HR model of the IFMS? And what change that needs to happen as we continue with the project? I will also be presenting on the technical part of the strategy, the objectives and the outcome of the strategy, the technical focus, and the implementation methodology. But then we feel that all these things need to be complemented by a high-level campaign phase with timelines set and the governance structure that has to be in place to make this project successful and the accountability that goes with the monitoring and evaluation of the project. Firstly, we are here really to present to the Standing Committee on Finance and Portfolio Committee on Public Service and Assistance, the strategy on the improvement of personal information projects as part of the sub-output of the Minister's Delivery Agreement. We need to make sure that this happens, as the Minister has already committed himself with the President on building an effective and efficient development-oriented public sector. And therefore, we feel that without quality information and data, this project will never assist us in decision-making in government. The rationale and context, also as Dr. Konege has indicated, we are now in a new paradigm. And the new paradigm is to look at the outcome-based approach. The outcome-based approach meaning we want results. We cannot be concentrating on the inputs and end processes. We want to see the impact of the project that we are implementing in government. And as I said, this output is specifically and strategically located around the output, which is called business processes, systems, decision rights, and accountability management, under which you'll find the CETA functionality, the petal cleanup, and all those things that need to make sure that government functions effectively are under. What are the key problems that we are trying to look at? Firstly, we have to look at ourselves as departments. And we said there are integrated transversal departments that are key stakeholders to the management of the system and of the content thereof. And therefore, this department includes DPSA, National Treasury, Government Department, Premier's Offices, CETA, and all of them. But we are saying that we have not been successful in producing the desirable results that we have from several projects. That's why when we come to Parliament, to the Portfolio Committee, there's a lot of inconsistent reporting. One province will come and report on the vacancy rate on a different platform. We come from DPSA, they will report differently. And we want to ascertain what are the key factors that are influencing this inconsistent reporting. Replacement versus cleanup. Why do you need to? Why don't we just replace this thing and get away with it? But there are issues that are concerned with it. We are all aware that in 2006, pressure noticed the complications of the new integrated system because PESA was not seen to be costly. If you look at the replacement of PESA, then it would mean a lot of financial implications that goes around it. And what we are trying to do with the integrated financial management system is that it's the fact that it has to be replaced with a centrally provided integrated application standard assessment procedure. This is benchmarked against international best practice. But what we're saying is that successful implementation of this system requires that information on PESA has to be up to date, is accurate, to assist in planning, as I've already said, in decision making. So what we are saying is that we are training the data within the PESA with the understanding that the IFMS, HR, and payroll solution will be data that comes from the debt system will be clear and will be clean as it goes into the IFMS system. We should be able to understand that it is not cost effective or feasible to invest more in PESA functionality. I think that our colleagues from CETA will agree with us, considering the imminent replacement of the PESA system. Therefore, in light of the replacement of the HR functionality within PESA with the IFMS human resource system, the aim is to, as I said, to facilitate the transfer of clean data into the IFMS. But in parallel, the development and implementation of the HR system, CETA also has started a project, an initiative, to develop a new payroll system that will eventually replace PESA. Once this is completed, the payroll system will be closely integrated with the human resources. Looking ahead, as I've already talked about, we need to replace the HR functionality within the PESA with the FMS, and the aim is to facilitate the cleaning. The objective of implementing the integrated financial management system are to improve the capacity of the public service to manage its human capital. We need to be able to manage our human capital. And
and by so doing, it means we'll be accountable even for those public servants who get grants in the South Pacific. And therefore, it means government will be able to take own accountability in terms of how it manages increments of capital. We need to be able to harmonize and align the implementation of public service, human resource management policies and processes. And support, we have to implement or put in place mechanisms that would rigorously monitor and evaluate human resource capacity within the public service. But then the other objective for the IFMS is to improve HR service delivery by automating and standardizing processes. And finally, integrating with the broader IFMS program and contributing to the achievement of the relevant IFMS objectives, such as enhancing the integrity and effectiveness of expenditure management and performance reporting in order to ensure effective service delivery across government institutions. The implementation of integrated financial management system, therefore, will have the potential to solve a lot of the challenges that we currently have in the public service, such as the automation of the human resource processes. When people take out leave, we should be able to avoid the manual capturing of the leave to prevent the capturing error. Users and managers will have direct access to the system, and they will be able to take ownership of their own data in their company. Within the particular phase, we are saying that this project is aimed at continuing within the medium-term expenditure framework period. We have set ourselves timelines to say we will be cleaning from today up to the end of the MTSF this project, based on the understanding that once the IFMS kicks in, we should have made it possible that all departmental data had been cleaned up. The HR module of future FMS, we are investing a period where there will be joint implementation of HR and payroll system in the rest of the public service, which will commence in April 2020. It is projected that rollout of the entire public service will take place over a 3 to 5 year period. It is also planned that the DPSL will go live with the HR system in November 2010, in 2 months' time. The Department of Education in Free State has already started with the pilot team, and then it is envisioned that the second half will be completed by 2011. And it is also projected that the payroll system will go live in DPSA in December 2011, and in April 2012 in Department of Education in the Free State. Those are the two pilot sites that they are looking for. It is also envisioned that the joint implementation of the human resource and payroll system in the rest of public service will commence in April 2010. I believe that our colleagues from National Treasury will also be able to shed light on the final implementation of the IFMS project. But within all these things, what we're saying is that we need to focus our attention also on the attitude and the culture of doing things. As the President has already said, let us try and do things differently. So we also need to change the mindset of departments within the senior management and the officials within departments, because they need to understand that person or cleaning of information would add value in terms of planning and accountability and decision making. And therefore, the strategy also looks at the change management aspect to address changes in business processes, systems, decision rights, and accountability management. But we also want to make sure that we improve the culture of information management and utilization, because in most cases, personal information is only used for financial purposes and not for decision making.
But there are a lot of variables and a lot of information that can be used out of this system for decision making and planning. We also need to create awareness of the projects and benefits associated with AIFO. And as I said, endorse a culture of doing things differently. Now coming to the technical part of the strategy, the cleanup strategy. The objective really is to enhance management information within the public sector. We want to make sure that we clean this information and then we want demand side of this project to be the main focus. I think the supply side has been there in terms of the system, but demand side has to be strengthened in the public service. The scope of the strategy is to make sure that we have dedicated cleanup projects. We have already alluded to that, we've already started within the Western Cape province in terms of cleaning. But then the maintenance of the system and the data and usage of the information in decision making. We are currently targeting national and provincial departments. But then as a starting point, the technical focus of this strategy is to identify crucial and strategic information that is captured within the federal system. What is this crucial information? Crucial information is also informed by some of the parliamentary questions that we get, by some of the concerns that we get, by some of the high-level questions that we get from different associations in the public service. And therefore, we need to be able to go into the system and say, what are the mandatory fields that need to be filled? What are those strategic information that need to be kept in the system? Because if you look at the central system, it's got thousands and thousands of fields. But there are strategic, crucial information that we have identified that we want to make use that within the first phase of the implementation of PEPA, that crucial information is identified. Obviously, some of the crucial strategic information that we are looking for is the essential biographical information for all employees. We need to know who is who within the public sector so that we avoid issues like your ghost employees and so forth. But then we need to be able to look at the current rank and salary information for all employees. In most cases, when we get parliamentary questions to say how many people are on this rank, how many DDGs do we have as females and so on, we are unable to provide answers timely and as accurate as possible. So what we need to be able to do is to also disaggregate this information so that when we need to respond, we need to respond effectively and as quickly as possible. We need to be able within the PESAL system as we clean it to provide information around education, training, and development information for all employees in the public service. Career issues within the service. Do we know what skills mix do we have within the public service? Disciplinary matters, who has been disciplined, who are the suspensions and all, we need to be able to provide all this information. Sick leave, what is the pattern, what is the trend of sick leave? Why do people sometimes take leave within certain periods and all? We should be able to be accountable for all those. Organizational and geographical information, as well as post on sick establishment. The data quality analysis sometimes becomes a little bit complex, but we need expertise in this area. So what we have done within the steering committee that we have established is to make sure that we bring in colleagues from Statistics South Africa who are experts in the area of data management and data analysis. And therefore, in terms of this project, they will be on board to assist us with the statistical analysis and the dissemination and quality assessment to national, provincial, cabinet, and department. Because the experience that we have is that some of the departments would release statistics, but which have not been verified by the statistician. And what we say is that for us to produce reliable and quality information that has been validated and verified, then we will employ the services of the Statistics of Africa. But then over and above, they will also assist us to come up with data management and cleanup methodologies and tools.
But we should be able to provide guidelines and methodologies, which will include the TESAL, the very same TESAL cleanup methodology, the management and implementation guide, and the guide to use TESAL information for strategic decision making. We are looking at some of the initial phases and projects that we have already started. And here we have already started with a project within the Western Cape Provincial Department in terms of cleaning up personal information. Phase one deals with the newly appointed employee. We want to make sure that when government employs new employees, correct information is being captured within the person. So what the premier's office in the Western Cape has done is to require that official complete 75 compulsory fields on paper, which would then be capturing all the strategic information that I've talked about, including contract renewals of staff who are reappointed with immediate effect. But then, phase two will also look at the verification tool. Is this person really duly bought as it claims to be? The identification, identity document, the qualification, and so forth. And all these things will be done in collaboration with human resource management and development units within each department. So all employees who come into the public service will be required to complete compulsory fields. The system will not allow them to bypass the system and leave out the crucial information that is required. So in the Western Cape, this system is envisaged to go live in August and September 2010. And employees will be able to access the system to update information. Because as you say, some of the people, you know, we need to update it on a continuous basis. Some people get married, but when you don't update the system, when you have to do the disaggregation, it will still go that they are similar. So we want to make sure that the system is updated on a regular basis so that it gives us the correct and updated information. Department also will be able to ensure that all current employees collect information and relevant documents facilitate the process before the system is live. We need to be able to say, if somebody says, I've passed matric, I've got an honors degree in biography or so, then the system is able to upload and approve after verification of the qualification that this person is really employed in this current position. And the preparation phase also will make sure that data has been captured, updated, as I said, amended, and all relevant documents are submitted to the HR component for verification. The verification process will ensure that captured, updated, amended information is correctly met with the relevant documentation. Because I may submit irrelevant documents while it's not possible. It is envisaged that all cleanup projects will follow the same methodology for cleaning up of personal information. Dissemination and use of information in the meantime, we'll be distributing Excel-based summarized departmental reports to top management based on the analysis of the information. As I'm saying, we are responsible for collection, and verification analysis of this. We will summarize on a continuous basis what we see coming out of PESA. And the findings of our analysis will be discussed with the top management. Provision of the exception reports and progress reports based on the data quality assessment will also be provided. In terms of the skills development, training has to be offered with a focus on the management and maintenance in the meantime of PEPA and the guide to the utilization of management information. But this training has to be focused And there are stakeholders, various stakeholders that are key to this, to the achievement of this project. Those are the personal users and administrators, personal managers, and everyone who uses personal information. As I've already alluded, the implementation methodology focuses on key pillars, which is the technical focus that I've spoken about. But within this project, we need a rigorous campaign in all the provinces and nationally. But then there has to be the implementation approach, which is understood, and the accountability and monitoring part of the project. Over and above, we are emphasizing on the fact that there has to be implementation support to departments in terms of providing both technical and administrative assistance to departments in the implementation of the project. And we should be able to give out the guidelines on the management of the project and the use of its information, as well as the tools to assist in data cleanup. We have agreed with the Deputy Minister as a champion of this project. Deputy Minister, but I should say we need to have a rigorous communication and advocacy program within the immediate term, which is August to October 2010. And this project, in a form of campaign, needs a high-level implementation plan, of which we have already developed, which will be rolled out to all the previous offices and departments as part of initial awareness campaign. We are really targeting the senior and executive top management of the department, because those are the people, if the culture within the senior executive doesn't change, or if decisions and buy-in is not at that level, the project might not necessarily succeed in that way. So we will be talking to senior and executive management of the department. But what he says is that we have to be able to identify all stakeholders for collaboration purposes and a collective agreement with stakeholders in taking the project forward has to be entered into. But then we are saying, whilst we are targeting the senior management, we want this project to be as much participatory as possible with all relevant stakeholders as possible. So we have already started with issuing out letters to the premier's offices and departments calling for support as a matter of agency. But we are also providing in brief documentation as to back up what the project is all about. One of the understandings is that this project cannot succeed without the government structure. And a steering committee has been established with set timelines. And the key players within this steering committee is the National Treasury, is Palama in terms of training, it is CETA in terms of the systems and systems development and so forth, and the Premier's Office. So the National Steering Committee will be comprised by those people. But then we see we need to establish a national forum with all government departments and provinces so that the implementation of the process can also take shape. But there is another layer that we have to make sure that we also collaborate in terms of reporting to the government administration at LASTA, which is the human resource management and development output. It is also in the delivery agreement of the minister. And we want to make sure what that forum is doing is also integrated in the work that we are doing. To reiterate again, the steering committee consists of DPSA as the policy owner, governance and HRMG, Palama in terms of capacity development in the public service, National Treasury as the system owner, State South Africa, they are the data experts, they should be able to assist us, provincial HR committees under the leadership of Premier's offices, and the performance monitoring and evaluation in the presidency in terms of issuing out progress reports. We should be able to come again to report on the progress to the portfolio committee or to all oversight bodies in terms of the monitoring and implementation of the project. And what we are proposing is that we should be able to give 6 monthly analysis performed to determine the change, the trends in the quality of information that we see as we clean up the data. Departmental progress against plans and data quality assessment will be done and also steered by the DEF committee. 6 monthly changes in terms of trends in the data of expected reports will be monitored. And we want to make sure that the progress reports are distributed to all identified structures. But in the meantime, we need to go to departments in terms of site visits and look at this poor performing department, so to say, you'll excuse me. Because in terms of what our analysis will be saying, if the department is not doing anything around the data quality, we should be able to go to them and discuss with them on what the analysis is saying to us. But we also want to utilize or to use and to agree with the Auditor General in terms of commissioning reports that they use for verification. And discuss and disseminate what the findings of the steering committee and the forum report and propose methods for implementation and intervention. Also in terms of enforcement and compliance in terms of data cleanup project, it is recommended that reporting to oversight committees such as this is imminent and is very critical. But then we have to be able to go back to the ministers and the deputy minister to notify them on the non-compliance and what should be done. And then we should be able to report on the compliance register to performance monitoring by the ministry, which is the president. But then in terms of strengthening accountability, we are thinking that the following mechanisms will be explored or proposed: that integration of data quality into DG's performance agreement, because if that is not taken into account at the highest level, it may not necessarily be achieved. And integration of data quality into executive authority delivery of agreement. Reporting of data quality analysis to national and provincial cabinets, including portfolio committees and parliament, and to request accountant general to perform audit on data quality of selected fields. Finally, in terms of the recommendation, it is recommended that the Standing Committee on Finance and Portfolio Committee on Public Service knows the contents of the project, the campaign phase and the timeline that we are looking for, the technical part in terms of the implementation of the strategy, and the implementation methodology that is being proposed, as well as the accountability, enforcement, and monitoring approach.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to find out in terms of the lineup, National Treasury, do you have a presentation that you need to share with us? Or is this a joint collaborative presentation between us?
Yes, Chair. It's a joint presentation. I here to support.
You here to support? Okay. But the body language tells me something from this side. Okay. I think that in the case, perhaps we should then allow honorable members, if there are no any additional from your side, to engage with the presentation. Deputy Minister, UK. Before that, you know, Deputy Minister, you did make your comment earlier on. My thinking was that we can never apologize for you to be here. You are here because you are doing a very important job for us. And we really appreciate that you have accompanied the team. We didn't mean that those that are not here, because they are engaged in other processes, you are not equally engaged in those issues. But it was important for you to be here. So I just wanted to make that very clear on our part. Honorable, you know, because this is a joint committee, you'll help me with the... Honorable Dr. George, Honorable Treya, Madamini, Honorable Pascal Fage, I'll stop there, and then we'll take the rest of the hands thereafter.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks very much for the presentation. On the strategy document, on page number 13, makes reference to Statistics South Africa. And the very first point is that it talks about the performance of the data quality assessment on a 6-monthly basis. Now, I'm just wondering, is this something that's going to be happening in the future? Are you confirming that it needs to be done? Or is there nothing currently in place in terms of quality assessment? So, are you actually saying that at the moment there is no quality assessment of the system? And if so, that would be quite concerning. Then on page number 14, where it talks about current roles and responsibilities, makes reference to the National Treasury as the system owner and responsible for running the system, etc. And it says that the National Treasury is the business owner of the payroll function. Now, I see there's obviously dual responsibilities, but for the National Treasury, I would like to know how you actually ensure whether the data regarding to that payroll function is actually valid and reliable, if there's anything in place at the moment to ensure that, and if not, why not? And then finally, on this plan for the future, or the implementation framework, the way that I can see it is that December 2010, the end of this year, is really the end of a process of a number of things that need to happen, and the rest are ongoing. So are we going to be seeing a status report in December or before December just to see whether all the stuff that you said you're going to do actually has been done? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Yeah. Thank you to the presenter for this presentation. It's very aspirational presentation, let me describe it that way, of what you want to achieve and where you want to be in a couple of years. And that's good to have high aspirations and set high goals. But you'll excuse me for being slightly cynical, because we've been hearing these kind of things for 4 years or more. Now, I'm not blaming the current acting CFO. She's probably been in the position not very long, and she can't be blamed for past mistakes. But I remember still under the minister, Geraldine Freitemoleketi, we talked about PASOL, that she acknowledged that PASOL was not reliable and it was, being corrected and so on. And it's now 4 years or more since then, and we still sit with PASOL is not reliable and PASOL is going to be improved or replaced. So it's been a problem that's been coming on, it's been developing over a long period of time, or that we've been aware of for a very long period of time. But nevertheless, it's now being addressed, and hopefully we're going to get this sorted out. But I just want to highlight a few words that the presenter mentioned during a presentation, which I regard as the most important words. You know, we can have the most sophisticated system, any system anywhere in the world. You can get the most fantastic, most sophisticated system in the world, and it will fail unless we implement it properly. Any plan, any good plan, will fail unless it's implemented properly and efficiently. So the words that you mentioned in your presentation, you talked about monitoring. You talked about the culture in the organization. You talked about discipline. You talked about the sick leave, for example, which is an indicator of an organization's health, I think. Accountability. All those five words, monitoring, culture, discipline, and accountability, are crucial words. And I think that's where we have to concentrate. You've got a technical product, a very technical product, but you've got to implement it now. And it's going to stand or fall depending on this. Now, the previous system, weak as it was, and with lots of shortcomings, but it also had to be implemented, and it has to be managed. And I think the same problems that you had there will reoccur, because that one also wasn't managed properly. People don't put in the correct information in any system. What you put in rubbish in, that's what you get rubbish out. So you have to make sure that the quality of the data that is captured on the system, that is done correctly and reliable. So I want to ask, what consequences are there? Have there been in the past any consequences for people who don't do their jobs properly, and how are you going to prevent the recurrence of problems in the past? How are you going to prevent it in the future when you implement the new system?
Thank you, Chair. I want to focus on another aspect of the IFMS, and I want to ask the delegation from CETA, has a tender for the procurement section of government's IFMS been awarded by CETA? And if so, which firm was the successful bidder for the procurement contract? And secondly, was a due diligence test undertaken or exercise undertaken to ascertain whether the successful bidder has the capacity to deliver according to the scale of the IFMS contract? And then lastly, what is the value of the IFMS contract? Thank you.
Honorable Bikani, and will be followed by Honorable William. We'll allow the presenters to respond after the two, and then we'll take the next round of questions, which will be led by Honorable Ramatlakane.
Thank you, Chair. My comment is that the presentation is more, it's a good plan, it's a good strategy, but we need to hear about the time frames to that. There's a lot of promises being made, basically. But my first question would be then, under the slides, and unfortunately not numbered, but the summary we said that the personal cleanup will continue until such time that all departments have successfully transferred the cleanup data to the IFMS. Can you get an actual time frame to this? Because it's more of a statement that sounds like it could be a promise that's forever. And it sounds like no plans have been made in relation to this. So what time frames are you looking at doing that? Then when I look at the time frames that are allocated in terms of the HR module of the future IFMS, are those not too far apart, the implementation dates? I'm just wondering what is the reasoning or the real thinking behind the lengthy time frames before implementation starts. If that could just be explained to us in detail, please. And then the other question that I have, Chair, if the personal system is a dying out personal system, why are we still making excuses as to its existence and not just simply have a straightforward way of saying why we phase out personal, we start with a new system or the IFMS system or whatever relevant system would be there? And most of all, I'd like to know what coordinated work has been done so far in relation to relevant stakeholders, especially in the sense of National Treasury, the CETA, which I think are the people who are key to this whole plan, and the DPSA itself. Then the one other thing here is, what are the steering committee? Talk of a steering committee. Is it existing warm bodies or is it still a plan to be? And if so, when do we perhaps meet the steering committee and get to understand their work plan? Thank you.
William?
Thanks, Chairperson. I'd like to address all my questions to the National Treasury, because they seem to be the owners of the system and responsible for the running, the maintenance and all costs associated, plus the facilitation of the training to the personal users. So if all current employees are to have the relevant documents for the startup in August, September this year, why not just load the current information straight onto the new system? I'd like to know how much this whole process is going to cost, and if National Treasury can tell us why they don't think it's a fruitful and wasteful expenditure. Also, how much will the training cost? And why are we having training on the system that we're about to phase out? Isn't this going to confuse everybody when we put the new system in and then you're going to have to retrain everybody on the new system? And the last question is, is the new system a tested one? Is it working anywhere else? Or are we
are we going to have a turnaround or a cleanup strategy for that new system in 5 years? Thank you.
Yeah, I think we should allow the presenter to respond to this first round of questions, and then we'll take another round later on.
Thank you, Chair. I think all the questions that relate to National Treasury will be taken care of by National Treasury as well as CETA. And in terms of the HR module of the IMF, which was the colleague called Gourmet, will also answer this question. I will attempt to answer the first question and the second and the third, and hand over to the rest of the colleagues. Statistics South Africa, is there nothing currently in terms of culture assessment? Obviously, yes. We have been engaging with them. We have submitted our data, all the data that comes from HESAP to assist us to cross-tabulate and see what are the issues that we are talking about. And as I'm saying, it's not a one-size-fits-all for all the departments. Some of the departments are very good in terms of maintaining and cleaning their own data, and some of these departments are not doing the work. But what we have done is to give them the information, to verify and assess the value of information as a starting point. So obviously there is a data quality assessment that we are currently doing. And also as in terms of our responsibility within the DPSA and MSE, and as I said earlier on, our responsibility is to collect, collate, analyze, verify the information. That is what we are continuously doing in DPSA. And the information that we disseminate for decision making and to other stakeholders is the information that comes from personnel that comes to us, which then becomes analyzed, and we try to make sense out of what we see from the data. And the second question was around what has been the consequence and how are we going to prevent the occurrence, and based on the issue of the culture and the discipline that is within the implementation and the management of the system. But in terms of what we are saying, and the members will agree with me, most of the things are the recommendations, because as I said, this project was never, you know, championed by a person who is at the level of the deputy minister, and we think that we are going to be successful in this regard. And obviously, by reporting to oversight bodies, in terms of reports, continuous reports, quarterly reports, and 6 monthly reports on the assessment of the quality of data that comes from, that will assist us in making sure that there is a level of exposition. We expose those departments that are not taking, taking responsibility for their own data. But as we are saying, the executive and the senior management of departments also need to take the responsibility and accountability for the quality of data that they produce. And therefore, one of the recommendations to make sure that the quality of data becomes part of the performance agreement of DPSA becomes very critical. The third speaker also was concerned about how do you speak about a system without having addressed the collection, the critical area of collection, and I do agree with that. But what I'm saying is that as we are currently doing, we request data from the system itself. We put it in our own small database, which is the MSE system. We look at the data and we report on what we are seeing. So, but as I'm saying, the project that the minister will be spearheading is to make sure that each and every person takes responsibility in terms of the critical strategic information that we may have identified. So that the 75 mandatory fields that we are talking about are captured in the system. Because what is key now is that it becomes
was initially used as a payroll system and not for strategic information management. And therefore, the data capturers have only been concentrating on only the finance part, which is 100%. If you look at the financial module of PESA, it's 100% updated. That is initially what the system was designed for. But then there was a neglect on the part of other strategic information that needed to be captured. And I will hand over to National Treasury to answer some of the questions.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Member. Maybe it's important to first put certain things in context before I respond, and probably might put clarity on some of the questions as I explain. First, the National Treasury is responsible for the development, maintenance, and support of the financial management systems, one of them being PERSA. So that's why I think we're being referred to as the owner of the system. FIDA, on the other hand, is responsible for the hosting and running of the application on the mainframe, and DPSA obviously is responsible for policy development and such methods that relates to policy on HR. And National Treasury again is also responsible for the financial management policy, which is really more relevant to the payroll side of things. That's the first clarity that I think is important. The second issue I think is around how systems actually interact in reality. I think it's important to note that IT applications or systems, as we just normally loosely call them, like PERSA, exist in a trilateral with other factors, people and processes. And from our perspective, we've always seen applications like PERSA being enablers and not just an end in itself. So the application cannot just do the work. It requires people that are relatively competent to actually operate on those kinds of applications, and obviously there needs to be processes that guide how people interact with those particular applications. And I think that in itself will start giving at least an idea of how the relationship exists. For us, we strongly believe that although there are problems on the applications, I mean, it's a fairly outdated application, as you can see, it was designed in the 1980s, using fairly outdated technologies, what people normally call green screens and the likes. It is still a functional application. It is still capable to do what it's designed to do. Obviously, it did not cater at the initial stages for a more rigorous HR management and so on, and that's why it has been lacking over the years. So our support for this project that the DPSA has put on the table is based on the fact that unless we start right now in terms of making sure that the data is adequately cleaned and maintained going forward, it will not make a very good business case to try and migrate the information into the new application in its current form. So there is a very dire need to make sure that data is actually cleaned in the PERSA system before it's migrated over to the new application, which is the HR module that is obviously going to be launched. What we also need to appreciate in the process is that in the design of the IFMS, because we realize that there are two components, the payroll side and the HR side, we decided that there needs to be a very clear split, obviously with integration in between. The HR module obviously will run and be managed directly with all the processes as they are prescribed by DPSA, and that is the case. But for that to actually be effective in going forward, obviously there needs to be also the related payroll application, which is also in the process of being designed. And I think it also deals with the question of why the timelines are a bit varied. We are in the process of actually going out on tender on the payroll side, and once the payroll is designed, obviously it will have to integrate with the HR module. Therefore, the rollout strategy for the HR module has to be closely interlinked with the rollout of the payroll itself, and therefore the timelines need to be synchronized so that, you know, HR does not run too far behind from the payroll itself, and that's why some of the timelines are a bit as they currently stand. At the moment, what we have is the HR module that is currently being prepared for rollout, and then again, Cornell will give more details. initiatives at DPSA and Department of Education, but obviously once the payroll application is in place, we will then rigorously roll it out to the rest of government in line. But again, we need to emphasize that the success of that rollout will be highly dependent on the quality and accuracy of data in the current application, so that when we migrate from the current application, we should not repeat the challenges that are inherent in the current application. I think one of the honorable members did raise the issue. The challenge is not necessarily the application itself. The challenge lies elsewhere. From our experience, the challenge has been the type of people that actually collect and capture the data on the application. And I think that we support the idea that the accounting officer of the department needs to be held to be responsible and accountable to ensure that the kind of people that are appointed and ultimately operate on the application itself are of such a nature that they can actually do these things as they expected and not capture wrong information in the application.
Okay, we'll proceed with the list of members that are posing some questions. You still want to respond further?
Thank you, Chair. There was just one question that was raised by the member from Celtic around CETA and the procurement of the IFMS system. I just wanted to indicate that the question has previously been submitted in writing to the Honourable Minister of Public Service and Administration. That the Minister of Finance is presently compiling a response to that question.
Okay. And the last question was about the time frame to the implementation of the project. And whilst we don't have that in the presentation, we are looking at the implementation of the cleanup project within the medium-term strategic and then in terms of the steering committee has been established, and as we have proposed is that we should be able to report on the progress to the oversight body on a continuous basis.
Okay, I have noticed that there are some follow-up questions as well as new questions. Can I pass that with the follow-up questions? Then I'll proceed to Honourable Ramat Sakan. Honourable Williams.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I feel the National Treasury didn't really answer the question. I asked them, how much would this whole process cost? And could they please explain why this is not fruitless and wasteful expenditure? Because fundamentally, you're going to take new data, and instead of putting it straight into the new system, you're going to put it into the PERSEL system. Why don't you just cut that system out and just start the new system up from scratch? Thank you.
Honourable Vigani, we are fine. Okay, can I send out to Honourable Dion? Is that a follow-up? Okay, proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. I agree with Honourable Williams that my question also was not answered properly by National Treasury, in that I didn't ask about the future, I asked about now. My understanding from this document is that the Treasury is the business owner of the payroll function. That's what it says here. So are you saying that the National Treasury does not know whether the data in the system that it owns and has oversight over, whether that data is valid and reliable? And if that is the case, that is very disturbing. I understand what you're saying about the future that needs to be cleaned, but if Treasury is responsible for something now and they don't know that it's okay, I would like to know why that is the case. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thanks, Member. Let's proceed to Honourable Ramat Sakan. Honourable Fiema, you will follow.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Can I just ask that maybe in addition to other questions that have been followed up, what is the source that you based your strategy on? In other words, there should be some studies elsewhere in terms of personal information capture. So what is this? Why should we believe that this is going to work tomorrow? What is the source? You say in a document there are 75
that must be completed in this information. And of course the new ones, we focus on the new one. But I think following that question about whether the reliability of the current data, what then happens to the existing data, which is the one that is under discussion? You said that the inconsistency about the data. What will happen is the old data that we now have in terms of the current public service that we have, having developed the 75 fields that must be completed versus what field has been completed in the past, is that going to migrate in some point in terms of the 75? What is the cost into it? The actual cost, human cost at the end of it, of the process itself. I'm curious just to understand the executive authority performance agreement as part of that they also have to be, it has to be included into their performance agreement as well as the DG. I thought that when we employ the DGs in the department has various strategic functions to perform. Does this mean that we really have a crisis to escalate this performance to a DG level as compared to appropriate level where it's supposed to happen, where you have a responsible official that has to perform and manage the data? So I'm just curious to understand, because it suggests to me that there is real crisis. You're escalating it to the executive authority that they must now be accountable to this. Whereas you have a high-paying official elsewhere, which is administrative function, to make sure that the information is accurately that is kept. So those are a few questions and concerns that I just want to indicate. I 75 fields to complete. Just for simple questions, I wonder how long that in the minutes to complete, how long does it take when it's ever timed? To complete the 75 fields, how long does it take for one individual to do it? And if you convert that into some kind of time lost and money, how would you quantify it to be? I'm just curious to know. I'm sure Treasury crunching figures would be able to help us in terms of just understanding globally what we're talking about here. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thanks, Honorable Matlakane. Honorable Luyenge, you'll be followed by Honorable Van Royal.
Thank you, Chatterjee. I think I'm partly covered by the honorable members who spoke before me. But I want to put a point of emphasis on the role of the Department of Public Service in relation to the reliability of the current data. I mean, this is a national crisis. You can't sit as a department important as this one. You cannot say what we have in our system is reliable after 16 years of our democracy. When you consider now improving or changing the current system, you are not very sure as to whether it is cost effective to do this, to improve or to replace completely. Because the implementation of the PESA system in the beginning was partial. When you have these fragmented other systems, and you are now introducing IFMS, which is not taking anything away, instead you are saying each system must talk to each other. I mean, we need more clarity on this as members of parliament, because we'll have to interpret this in our provinces, especially in provinces where they were reluctant even to accept the introduction of PESA, because people were chowing the government money by these ghost employees, ghost institutions.
suddenly he's thinking, they were completely reluctant, completely reluctant. Now you are saying, as the national, no, we are not very sure, we want to improve this, and then now we introduce IFS. IMFS is not a new system. In fact, it's the collaboration of the existing system, which is not something new administratively and otherwise. You can't be saying you are bringing something new. You are doing what you should have been doing in the beginning. Where do you locate personal system in the IMFS? Is it personal system is doing part of this, and then IMFS? I mean, this is confusing. I mean, we are not that late in terms of administration. Some of us are foodies in this field. And go.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I mean, this question was posed so far twice. I will just put a rider to it on where this application was tested and maybe the lessons learned, I mean, from that particular experience. And I'm more interested to know what are the limitations that have been picked up, I mean, if it was ever, I mean, maybe tested somewhere, and how we intend to cushion or maybe to remedy these particular limitations. And the second feature, it was also posed earlier on, the projected cost of this exercise. I'm interested to know, I mean, how are we going to provide for the funding of this particular exercise, or maybe the introduction of this, the funding of the introduction of this particular system. And lastly, you know, it's a common, excuse that we don't enjoy cooperation from other departments. And at the center of this particular application, it's very clear that the role to be played by other departments is crucial. Now, what I'm missing, I know at some stage an impression was created that there will be effective coordination mechanism. But what I'm missing here is our capability, I mean, to ensure that there is proper enforcement of compliance. Because we can't wait for a situation where after 6 months we are told that this department is not cooperating. It's common. How are we intending to deal with this unfortunate situation of departments which are not prepared, I mean, to cooperate as part of enforcing compliance? Thank you, Chair.
Okay, yeah. Before maybe we make the response based on the questions that the members have raised, I'm sure it's just important for us to note some few things so that when we respond, we also consider those issues. Matters that are for consideration, the first one, it will be the Auditor General's audit report, does focus its statistics when it does the audits on the personal system as a very critical aspect that we utilize normally as members of Parliament. For our oversight too. When this matter came in front of Parliament, there was a presentation by the government employees pension fund, and then it came up and we realized that there's a need for it to come back to Parliament as this joint committee, as the first time when it came to our attention. So in other words, there is still an issue in the DEPF, which is part of what we expected a response. And to come on. The other issue is the government departmental annual reports that we actually utilize as tools as well, which bases statistics on the person. So I'm actually saying all those matters, it actually shows how critical this tool is, you know. So it is important when there is a presentation that comes our way, we get a clarity in terms of where we are. Currently, the status quo, as it was presented, and you can hear the questions, is very much unclear. That's one issue. The integrated financial management system is referred to, but not much was said, you know, based on how, you know, this presentation was read. National Treasury supports the presentation, but we did not get into the core of where we are. That's why members then raised this quite critical. On the presentation, again, issues such as buy-in, awareness program support are raised, which actually says, even buy-in is not there, it's still going to be consolidated, which raises, you know, an alarm, and it actually makes us unclear when are we going to be starting to say this is a process, you know, quite concretely so. So all those issues are sort of posing some questions. The other matter, again, I'm sure there was a need for a thorough consultation among the structures and the stakeholders concerned on this matter prior coming to present in Parliament. I would say the National Treasury, Public Safety Administration, CETA, Statistics of South Africa, Parliament, it would have been better to actually take us somewhere in terms of the presentation. So actually, it really shows that there wasn't that kind of a discussion prior coming. And this matter is very serious. As you can hear members raising it. Of course, I would raise issues of time frames are some, you know, that are a little bit worrying as well, based on the agency of the matter. I'm sure those are the things that are coming up. While there will be that response, I just thought, let me also raise that, so that when we do the response, we consider those matters as well. Can I then allow a response?
Madam Chair, I think that perhaps we need to clarify a couple of things which seem to underlie some of the comments that have been made by the honourable members. The first one has to deal with the question of why are we so alarmed that the data we have is not reliable, and does the DPSA take the responsibility for that? My understanding is that we are victims of the system of administration that we have in the government. And that is that the administration operates on a very decentralized basis. The responsibility for the HR modules in government is taken by the respective departments. The DPSA doesn't function in a way in which it sits as an overarching controlling authority. It has responsibility for the formulation of policies. And we think that's one of the weaknesses. It has responsibility for the formulation of policies, but yet it may not necessarily have the power to enforce compliance. And that's a particular weakness in the system right now, which we're trying to address. Insofar as how we propose in the cleanup project to deal with this particular matter, you'll see that although the presentation touched upon it, very likely we didn't focus on it, we do think that the element of training and education in the management of the system is a very critical component to overcome this difficulty, because you would have heard Treasury when they talked that they still of the view that the applications in the system are still relevant, in that you do get the information that is required for the new HR modules in the IFMS system. But what tends to corrupt the information is the improper inputting of the information into the system. So very much a major portion of the difficulties, as I'm told, at the moment, which results in corrupt data, is that the people who man the system are not doing the job properly. And that's the point that the Honourable Member points out to, when she said, garbage in, garbage out. So it is the people who manage it. And then, unfortunately, the responsibility for that still resides within each department. And that's what we're hoping that we can address. That's why we've got Palama as a critical stakeholder that sits in the committee, whom we have mandated to look at the training and development side. So that as we clean up the system and we obtain the data that we think would be more useful to the new system, and we migrated into that, side by side with that, we would be training and developing the operators of the system so that hopefully the problems that we currently have will be reduced. So there's a strong training and development element to that, and that's a strategy by which we hope to then reduce
the kind of problems about corruption of the data. On the matter of time frames, and I think that the presentation and does in fact come a bit fuzzy on the question of time frames with respect to this particular project. Because it's a project, it's a cleanup project, we ideally should have a situation where we say we are commencing now and we are going to do this cleanup. This is the strategic information we're going to make sure that we get. We provide the respective committees interim reports, so now the project is progressing, and then you will be able to assess by such and such a time, as we said we would be finished, you would want to know why we have not finished if we have not finished. Now, the difficulty with being able to put a fixed time is that we cannot determine when the new system will be up and running. And this brings us to the current conundrum that we have to deal with, in which we say Treasury owns the system, DPSA has a certain responsibility, and others have other responsibilities. So it's really the call of Treasury to bring greater clarity on the IFMS system to the committees. That's why I think there's wisdom in having had this joint committee, because the Treasury Finance Committee must drive the articulation of the IFMS system so that we all in government can become much more clearer as to when is this new system going to commence. What we are doing is dealing with the problem in the breach. We know that there has been a lot of work, and I'm sure that it would be appropriate to get that report from Treasury at some stage. On the development of the IFMS system. And we are looking at how do we interface with that new system as and when it comes up. And the cleanup project is to prepare us from the HR side to have the relevant information and the correct information to feed into that new system. So we would have hoped that we would have had a better round of consultative discussions with the Treasury committees, and we didn't have the time to do that. And there have been, I think, two consultations, but we would have liked to have firmed it a bit more tighter, so that hopefully the next time we come around to meeting the committees, we'll have a better sense and present a better sense of the IFMS system and how we can put the tighter timelines that the committee requires. I think if the team has conveyed the impression that the cleanup project has been going on for some time, that is not so. So let's get that right. We're presenting here today the conceptual frame of the project. And they've started some of the work with respect to the projects as I mentioned in the Western Cape and so on and so forth. But we have not yet fully blasted out in the cleanup project as we are presenting it right now. So this is at the stage where that's why it looks like there's a lot to be done and very little to report as to what has been done. Let us be clear that the project, the conceptual frame is what we have constructed. We have been having discussions with this, and we now really are going to drive this project. And we estimated that it will take us 3 years to be able to really be at the level that we think we'll be satisfied and say that we can feed into the IFMS system. So we want to sort of concur with the Honourable Member who said that data collection is a critical and core element of the project. We want to also concur on the observations made by members on the timelines, and we want to tighten that up after we've had a much more clearer presentation from Treasury. We could only say to Honourable, I think it is Member Dreher, who has been hearing this tune for a long time, 4 years ago, and you know, new hits are always old tunes with new singers. So we're going to give it a new hit, and that's what we are determined to do. I think that Honorable Williams is still looking to Treasury to comment on his matters, and I will just stop there.
I think again with regard to whether it's wasteful expenditure to continue to train people on the whole system, our experience has been that, and again it was highlighted, I think there are two parts to the training that is being dealt with here. One is on the capability for people to become HR practitioners in department. And the second part of the training is obviously the training on the system to enable them to become better practitioners of the environment. Therefore, for us, we don't see this as being wasteful expenditure because, anyway, if you train a person to drive a vehicle, they'll probably be improving to drive a Mercedes-Benz or even a Rolls-Royce when it comes on stream. So this is preparatory training that will be useful continuing into the future. So it can be wasteful expenditure to continue to train people at PERSA with a view that they will have a better understanding and take on the training going forward. The issue about what it costs to train on PERSA, again, because the current model...
Chairperson. My question was not about training on PERSA or the cost, it's the entire cost. And also the wasteful expenditure of the entire process, not just about the training. Thank you.
Yeah. I can only respond to the issues around PERSA, that's why I know that, and that's why I'm referring to.
Okay, proceed with the response.
And again, the National Treasury is responsible for development, maintenance, and of training on the PERSA application as it stands, which is not an accurate, correct model to go along. And what we are foreseeing in terms of the CETA Act, that CETA should actually ideal in the future be taking care of financial management systems, and that is the process in terms of going to the IFMS, which will be then here to CETA. But the current expenditure, for example, on PERSA, all-inclusive cost is around 50 million, and that includes even the training. One must also bear in mind that National Treasury bears the cost of training all national and provincial departments at this point in time. For example, we run about 200 training courses in a year and train approximately 4,000 people on PERSA per annum. So, you know, that falls within the scope of what we spend and how we anticipate. We don't just charge departments for the training that we provide on PERSA, and we're hoping that when CETA does begin to run the IFMS, it will begin to also charge users on the training of those particular users going forward.
Thank you, Chair. I have thought that we had come here to talk about PERSA and the cleanup. And I think that the Honourable Member is talking about the IFMS project as a whole and whether it is fruitless and wasteful. There is a test that must be subjected to any expenditure to establish whether it is fruitless and wasteful. But in the committee in SCOF, we present our report there. And I think that maybe, Chair, if it is desirable, we would do an update on IFMS. We didn't know that is what we would need to do here.
and unfortunately, I apologize, I came in because I was forced to choose between two masters. I was in another committee there, and they wanted to know how well we are doing with the implementation of IFMF and where the spending is actually taking place. So if it is the desire of the members that they need an update on IFMF, we are quite happy to do that. But we came here with the understanding that we are going to talk about the cleanup of the Serbian system.
I think before I wouldn't really want to take the follow-up, but we did indicate prior to this presentation that there must be an integrated approach between public service administration and national treasury in terms of the presentation that came here. And what we have realized, once there was a presentation, there was no work done prior coming here. So it was just a presentation from public service administration and no one from that side. So that would have presented us with an integrated approach on the matter, not this one on this side, the other one on the other side. And therefore, as a matter of fact, unfortunately, because we started in another committee, but we have reached a situation where we already have noted that that did not happen, and members had already made some questions. What we are doing currently, can we then allow the responses? I'm very much aware that most of the questions may not be answered to the satisfaction based on the gap that exists within the presentation, which is there. Because it was an initiative that came from other meetings of this nature and between the two committees. We still insist that there was no sitting together by two national treasurers and public system administration, which would have helped us not to have unnecessary questions, which could have taken us a step forward. We have outlined the stakeholders that were interested that they sit down. You know, but to us, the issue of personnel is quite critical. It's quite serious. And when we move to other systems, there is IFMS. It will be interesting for us to see the collaboration of activities by government when they come, particularly to present, because it's the only time where we get an update in terms of how fast the processes are taking place. We may not reinvent the presentations at this point in time, but what would really require is that in future, when there's an assignment requested in advance, it will be important that it be taken seriously and be done to avoid unnecessary interaction at this level. Honourable members, I don't think we can exhaust the level of questions at this point, except to send over to my colleague on this matter.
And Chair, I must respond to that matter, to your comment, last comment, because I think it's incorrect for you to be left with the impression that there has been no engagement between DPSA and Treasury. There have been several engagements between DPSA and Treasury on this particular project. So we do come here having collaborated, but we have come here with a very clear focus that we're going to present to you on the PRASAL cleanup project. And the DG is quite correct. I think the limitation is that in the definition of the agenda for this meeting, it should have been made much more clearer that you also want an update on the IFMS project, because that's been omitted. And perhaps that's what we need to remedy now, because that's the gap. A lot of questions seem to deal with how do we migrate into the new system and why are we trying to sort of improve on what we have at the moment. And maybe we should find a way forward to try and address that particular gap. But please be reassured that we're not working separately on this project. We are working in a collaborative way. We have engaged in a number of consultations and in fact, the steering committee, which includes all the major stakeholders, have already been established.
Okay. I think we should, because at the end of this process, we should have a common understanding of what needs to happen from here. And it will be important that we allow honorable members to express their views about this presentation, and we'll take it from there onwards. Honorable Luyenge, Bikeni, no, William, you have been coming on, and I want to give us an opportunity.
Mohammed. I'm not surpassing you. Not at all. You are protected. Perhaps you'll be covered in what Honorable Liang is going to say. Thank you, Chair. Chair, your co-chairperson has correctly put the feeling of the committee in as far as this presentation is concerned. It is our finding that it has emanated from this meeting. It is very clear and explicit that there was no collaboration amongst the stakeholders before this department is coming here to present. I mean, we cannot be sponsored here by the presenter on the finding. That is our feeling. We can be incorrect. If we are incorrect, the House will say that, or political parties will have a responsibility to say the committee was incorrect. You cannot allow a situation whereby our chairperson is told that she is incorrect. I mean, if I may ask, who is the sponsor of this cleaner? Is this an executive authority or is it a departmental approach? We'll have to get deeper so that we know exactly who will be accountable around this. Is it the department? Is it the administration? Or is it the political arrangement? Because if it is a political policy, there is a role that is played by the administration. And if it is the executive, there is a particular role that is played by all the stakeholders. I mean, the department must go back and sit with other stakeholders, consult even the provinces, because this is not going to be a matter of this department at this level. Provinces, as well as it has been reflected, they must contribute in whatever is going to come to us. Good.
Thank you, Chair. I think I concur with what Honorable Yang has said, but also to say that we thought that the idea was that since they themselves have presented to us, especially the PSA, the fact that the personal system is eventually going to be a die-out at the end of the day, we still maintain that in terms of the money that's being allocated for the personal system in the 50 million that was indicated by the Department of Treasury, we still left with the question as to why not from the data collection go straight into a new system if the personal eventually is going to be a waste, because then it means that in a way there's a wasteful expenditure that is going to come into the process. Why not, rather than saying going from data to personal to a new system, just go straight to the new system? And in the process as well, it does appear that the feeling is that if we had the information on this new IFMS, we as a committee would also have been able to then challenge the processes of the cleanup strategy of the personal system, to say, why not rather take another route? But now with the fact that we were not given the chance of hearing about the IFMS system, it's difficult to even make a comparison or further statement. But in conclusion, Chair, I'd like to know how accommodative is the system of a possible integrated public management system and services plan in this whole plan of the personal cleaner strategy. One point, perhaps we should also look at the fact that we might have to look at renaming the project if need be, because it does look like the fact of saying that it's a personal cleanup strategy or plan, it's not really going for our ears, because if this can be a new system because of a failing personal system, why not then re-look into how the actual project has been named, which is also partly why we are raising the issues we are raising. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Mukhali will be followed by Honorable Suka, and then Honorable Ramachandran.
To say, well then, if IFMS is the new system, why not take the data for the new system rather than clean up the strategy? Because to me it sounds like a wasteful expenditure. You clean up the data system, you migrate the data to IFMS. Why do that? Why just not move the data directly to IFMS? Or next time when they come, they should explain to us what is this IMMS exactly. Is it going to work hand in glove with central system, or is it a new system at all? And I think that's all. Thank you.
Your chair, I'm sorry. I apologize for being late. Just a small clarity on the document, on the presentation. If it has been clarified, I rest my case. But for the sequence of my understanding, under HR module of future IFMS, the bullet number 2 in relation to bullet 1 and 3, can I just get the sequence of that? Because at one stage you say the service will commence in April 2012. Then the second bullet says the execution of the project started in April 2009. And the other one, the third bullet, it is said that the DBSA will go live with HR in November 2010. Can I just get the sequence around that matter? Because I would have thought that by now, if it started in 2009, surely would have said these are the challenges and experiences in relation to moving from TESA to IFMS. And as such, we are going to improve moving forward to 2012. But on the contradictory of your dates, it does not focus well to me. If I can clarify only on the second bullet, the execution of the project started in April 2009. I'm sure we are all together at that level. Then secondly, Chairperson, I'm not sure whether there is a comprehensive report on in terms of the challenges, so that we understand this issue of that provoked you to have a cleanup. I take it that in a particular era, inflation, there was a head counting and everything, there was a cleanup throughout, which was tedious, brought in anxiety to civil service, head counting person by person, to the extent that in the Eastern Cape we found ghost schools and so on. Are we saying, out of that experience, are we going to, because if we talk cleanup, it means we go back to that era. Is that what you are envisaging? Because surely you need to go to that extent, especially where there are no roads, where the infrastructure is still there. How are you going to address that matter? I will talk only on machines here, that your systems will be in place, but the reality on the ground will not speak what you are saying. Because if you go that route, it means we'll be standing on the same issue as Tesla is standing now. In the Eastern Cape, there were huge, major challenges, I'm sure, under the administration of Mokwalinse. I mean, this is that now, again, when we talk of cleanup.
Ramatagana will be followed by Honorable Lindelwa Tunja. And, yeah, I think that's the end of our list, right?
Thank you, Chair. That the I understand and I recognize the problem that some of the questions I posed may not be answered because of the fall in another part. But Chair, if it is assumed that the integrated financial system is one solution to the quality, the data quality issue. So I think from where we move, our assumption that it has to be integrated must be correct. That the solution of the other problem is seen at the integrated financial management system, and therefore in the discussion of the problem and solution, there has to be integration. They have to be together. Because otherwise we can't have a total picture of the problem and solution without having had that presentation about the integrated financial management system. Therefore, I don't think that we will do lots of progress in this discussion.
because there is a definite gap that at next interval, that must be sooner, that we should have at least a preview of that system itself, so that we can apply our mind as to whether the totality of the solution actually is in that basket. So I would ask Chair that, because maybe the question I ask will be relevant in that model to be answered, because there will have to be maybe, there's been a lot of work that has been done in terms of central random crunching the numbers. So I would like to suggest therefore that I think the engaging of it further than this, there will be lots of contradiction and unanswered questions that probably will probably have to come to a adjournment with that understanding that we have to come together again with a more integrated approach and the solution. Because when I read the slides that looking forward being the solution of that integrated management system, therefore it's a left and right hand. And therefore there's no way that we can separate the discussion. Thanks, Chair.
I thank you, Chair. My apologies for being late. My focus will be on the skills development. And I'm raising this question, Chair, because I've been in the public service for years. And when there was an introduction of PASAN, there were challenges. What is being done now, what was said, was being done in as far back as 2000. And the problem, again, was the capacity of people that were given responsibility to manage this. Now, I see here in the skills development that it's been said that there's going to be training. Now, who is going to be trained? Are you going to train the same very people that we know that they have corrupted the system, they don't have the capacity and the ability? And I maybe within the context of what Honorable Ramachakana has said, that maybe in the next presentation, I think that it's going to be important that we get that. We are coming from a province. I'm coming from a province that I know for a fact that it has been corrupt in terms of PASAN. Honorable Suga is correct. We were running up and down at the time in terms of head counting, gold schools, gold workers. Again, they were training. People were sent for training on PASAN. Now there's going to be a new system. My fear is that you are going to train people that have got all the know-how on how to corrupt a system. You may come with a new system, but if you're going to train the very same workforce, my approach is that I'm granting all of them with one brush, but we've got an experience change, that is the problem. So my question is really about the skills, the training, who is then going to be trained, and how best are you going to ensure that system that is going to be introduced is not going to fall into the hands of being corrupted. Because that's something that we must first acknowledge, and I think we have to acknowledge that system has been completely corrupted to the core, in fact. Maybe it differs from one province to another. Thank you, Chair.
I don't think I've got any help from this side. Let's give you an opportunity to respond to this question. It's not just questions, it's also suggestions on how we move forward from honorable members. Honorable Deputy Minister?
No, I can only but concur that we must, I think, get a presentation on the IFMS system. On the matter of how do we tackle, I think the observation is very incisive, and we must note that we don't have the answer to that one. But certainly training is a very strong element in how we are planning to overcome the difficulties. But that we are obviously leaving to Palama, because it's a public service academy that is supposed to be looking at this particular matter, but the observation that has been made by the Honourable Member is quite accurate. No doubt we've stated ourselves that the current operators are the ones that have corrupted the system. We have to find a strategy to mitigate, to prevent that corruption from taking place again. I think that's it.
Chair, I think that I will, Deputy Minister spoke, we will go, we'll do the presentation on the IFMS. I guess it will not end up having to be a joint thing because we normally do it in the other committee. Just to say that the fact that there is a new system coming does not mean you stop operating the current system, because government then comes to a stop. And so let me put it this way. If we are going to trade in this car that we are driving for a new one, we don't stop servicing the current one because we are going to get a new car, because it will be wasteful if we service this car, because it will stop and then we will not be able to get where we want to go. So pretty simply what I'm saying is that we are going to have to clean the data so that when you go into the new system, you go into the new system with clean data. It's no point going into the new system with data that is not having integrity and you have got reservations about it. I think the point made by the Honourable Member, who do you train and do you have, and the question that was asked, do you go and do a head count and so forth? In the end, the system is only as good as the people who are operating it. And that is why training is going to be at the heart of the implementation of the system. If you, many good systems fail because change management has been handled badly and people were not trained in the utilization of the system. So we will actually do that. As to who we train, we're going to have to train the people we have. I'm not sure if all of them are corrupt. I do know, though, I employ a lot of honest ones. So to that extent, that is what would be service. Lastly, let me say that you can never, never throw a good system at your problem, because the system simply enables people to perform better. As it is said, it might assist you to make the same mistakes faster because you are eliminating a lot of human factors. So, Chair, we would present the IFMS. The IFMS is not just about payroll, it's not just about HR. It's about a procurement module, it's about an asset management module, it's about an inventory control module, it's about an integrated data management system. So if the baby, it's a comprehensive system, we would walk the committee through this thing, what the original plan was, where we are with the implementation of the plan, what had we planned to spend on the system, and what we have spent to date on the system. I think that I'm hearing honorable members here. I think that it is a discussion that we should have, and we are quite happy to come and share that with you.
On this matter, I would like to raise that in conclusion, before we take the other matter, that PESAL has a lot of discrepancies. And as this parliament, we have raised that matter as a matter of concern, and it actually hampers a number of other programs that we are working on. And it came up here precisely because it is problematic and it's something has to be done. These two committees have actually, out of this input, we remain with a bitter taste in terms of the processes for today, because they did not take us a leap forward, despite the defense that the Deputy Minister has actually put forward. We did not go a leap forward, but we still remain with coming back to that issue, and it could have been a good thing that we are moving somewhere in terms of just the understanding on the progress thereof. Lastly, one has to indicate that the integration of the systems in government is very critical, it's important, and it has to always reflect when there's a presentation that is done. This also, we will refer to also the PESAL, but if PESAL and National Treasury will be working together on that matter. We want to hope and believe the coming presentation will be of benefit to us and it will take us somewhere. At the moment, we are left with a bitter taste. We expected more. It actually did not happen that way. And we really hope that the coming time we will have a better presentation and a better understanding of where we're getting to. Nonetheless, honorable members, I think we should leave it there for now. With an understanding between the committees that we do need to follow up on this matter, we should talk about the approach. We will do as we did in the past, where we informed the departments in time how we would like them to do the presentation. But at the same time, if a national treasurer, together with public safety and administration, do want to indicate to us how they think it's best for them to do it, it will be fine as well. But we really want to see progress. That is the only issue. As this parliament, we're worried after this long period we've been in government, and we still talk PESAL, we still talk the problem, and we still want to talk about the integrated management system, and so on and so on. At this point in time, I'm sure, can we then take a 10-minute break and come back to the next matter? Okay.
Maybe before you break, honorable members, for 10 minutes, because I'm not going to come back to this presentation. Sure. Just to add on what my colleague has said. You see, normally when you get invitations to Parliament, all of us sing one chorus song that we take Parliament very seriously. It's not in attendance to Parliament meetings that you take Parliament seriously. It is in the kind of information and preparation that you put in for honorable members. And one of the things that you should not do as practitioners is to assume knowledge on behalf of honorable members. You see, amongst yourselves or between yourselves, there has been a lot of interaction around this particular matter. Now, one of the things that I did when we agreed to have this joint meeting, I spoke to National Treasurer, more in particular, DG, who said National Treasurer welcomes this joint sitting or joint meeting of the committee because it will give both departments an opportunity to to update Parliament about what is going on in terms of the integrated approach amongst yourselves. Now, what has happened in terms of this presentation? I think you've done a lot of work, but you have simply restated what exists, which is work in progress, basically. What is now missing in the presentation? It's about the transitional measures. That's what we are interested in. Because at the end of the day, we must talk about what is happening and what is the end game in terms of your time frames and so on and so forth. Now, the transitional measures that are beginning to take place in between these processes of cleaning and what National Treasury is putting together in terms of the IFMS. It's not part of the presentation, as much as the presentation goes to the Standing Committee on Finance. But it would have been much better if your presentation would have incorporated the work that is being done in that area, so that the two processes talk to each other. For instance, in your presentation, one of the bullet points is, therefore, it is not possible or feasible to invest more funding into PESAL functionality considering the imminent replacement of the PESAL system. This is what you are admitting out front. Now, given this conditionality that you have, what you want to know is, over and above what you're doing, what is it that is happening on the other side? So I thought that was almost inherent, National Treasury, because you did admit from the beginning, in the absence of your teaching, that your role here is to support the presenter. You know, he didn't say this is a joint presentation. You came in to support. So we must not argue about whether there was a meeting or no meeting before you came. I think that statement on its own is sufficient to tell us what happened before you came here. Now, I agree that as you migrate from one system to the other, you cannot carry over corrupted information in the new system. It is important to clear and to clean and make sure that what you have is credible in the new system. But that should not be implied in terms of your presentation on us. You must tell us those things, you know. Now, I think what we are agreeing on is that we'll need a comprehensive joint presentation by the two departments to these committees, because what you tell us in the Standing Committee on Finance will not necessarily tell us what is happening in terms of the processes of cleaning paper. So it will be important that we continue to have this interaction so that at the end of the day we've got one common understanding of what is happening. And we should support you in the process. And don't underestimate what the Honorable Lindwella said about who do you train. This system was not corrupted by people from outside or from man. It's corrupted by our own people. Don't underestimate that. As you put a new system, they put new strategies on how to corrupt it, how to benefit about it from the system itself. So it is possible that the system is going to be corrupted, and it's not corrupted by anybody else, but by the same people who are actually supposed to administer this system. So I thought I should make this observation so that as we move on, we should not just say Parliament has called us, we are going there, there's a presentation, and you don't apply your mind on what is it that you think we need over and above what is the topic to inform Parliament about. So I thought I should make this point. Just have a 10 minutes leg stretch. We'll come back to take the last topic.
Outside.